Good evening. It's all very quiet. Good evening. It's great to be here. Thanks for the introduction. I'm always interested in introductions, hear how I'm introduced. And had a great moment last year when I went to church. They didn't know me. They gave a very full introduction. It's Jonathan Edwards. Privileged to have him here tonight. He used to be the leader of the Baptists in this country, about a third of a million people. And people think, oh, sounds really interesting. And they said, well, you might be interested to know that his son-in-law is appearing at the moment in the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child in the West End. And the whole group went, wow! You know, put me in my place, I tell you. You know. But if you're interested, I've got a son-in-law who's doing something significant. Everybody loves a good story. And this is just a great story that we've heard, hasn't it? It's got everything. It's got drama. It's got surprise, it's got humour, it's got an amazing punchline and a twist along the way. You need a twist along the way. Jesus is teaching in Capernaum. He's only just started his ministry and the opposition is already getting going. It's interesting, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law have come to listen to him. There's a big crowd. Some of you will know Capernaum on the beside the Sea of Galilee. I've been there a number of times. It tends to be very hot in Capernaum, my experience, and very muggy as well. And in the middle of the day, you wouldn't want to teach in the open air, and Jesus very sensibly is in a house to teach. And there is a great crowd. We've got the situation. There's a great crowd of people all around, so that when these people turn up with their friends on a stretcher, they can't get anywhere near Jesus. Just incidentally, as we go through, this is a beautiful picture of true friendship, isn't it? These four friends who have their mate on a stretcher, he's paralyzed, he can't get close to Jesus, and they're absolutely flipping determined he's going to get to Jesus. The fact that there's a big crowd is neither here nor there. They're going to get their friend to Jesus. The fact that there was a roof in the way is neither here nor there. They're going to get their friend to Jesus. We do need to be clear about the houses at the time. Flat roofed, there'd be an external staircase, simple construction. Beams probably about 3 feet away from one another, filled in with what we used to call wattle and daub, filled in with mud and sticks and branches and so on. It sounds like a simple construction. It would also be incredibly hard. It would be like concrete. So it would be some work to get through this roof, but they are determined. They are going to get their friend to Jesus. Now, it's just hilarious, so long as you're not the owner of the house, hilarious that anybody should think, we're so determined to get our friend to Jesus, we're going to get through that roof, and that's what they do. And so we have the dramatic situation. I've often worried about exactly how they get this man through. Anyway, we don't need to worry. They succeeded in getting their friend to the feet of Jesus. And then we have Jesus' reaction. I sometimes wish the gospel writers said a little bit more, a bit more detail, because that must have been great astonishment, and we've got the picture of bits falling through. Anyway, maybe you don't need, I can see an architect is concerned about these problems. But they get their friend to the feet of Jesus. And then the interesting thing, in the sense of the twist, is their reaction to Jesus. Jesus' reaction to the man, because it's obvious what the problem is. I mean, we've all worked out what the problem is. The man is paralyzed, like that's a problem. So please, Jesus, if you do bodies, can we sort out this problem with the paralysis? That's clearly the prior problem. And Jesus pronounces, friend, your sins are forgiven. And we're thinking, nice thought, but actually this guy is paralyzed. That's the problem. And the point of it is this. Jesus is saying, the first need of this man was not his paralysis. The first problem he had was his relationship with God. That's number one. I wonder what you consider your number one issue in life, in your number one problem. Be very interesting. You might not want to share it, and I'm not going to ask you to do so. But I wonder what you perceive your number one problem, number one challenge to be in life. Many people undoubtedly would say, well, it's financial. If only we could sort that, everything else would be right. And there's no doubt, if you've got severe financial problems, that's a big problem. But Jesus would say the number one problem, the number one issue, is your relationship with God. Maybe you have a medical condition of great seriousness. And you say, well, it's obvious. That's the number one problem. But Jesus would say, no, the number one issue is your relationship with God. Maybe you have a relationship difficulty. Maybe there's a strain in relationship, and we all know how overwhelming such a problem can be. Overwhelming. But whatever it may be, Jesus says that number one is your relationship with God. Jesus forgave the man because, just like us, he was a sinner. Sinner, the word sin is interesting, isn't it? It sounds rather technical and rather sort of philosophical term. What is this sin about? Sin is simply anything which gums up our relationship with God, anything that spoils life. Sin is anything that gets in the way of us really being alive, anything at all. A little bit of selfishness. And we're all part of this. I'm not talking to particular people. We're all part of this. But just a little bit of selfishness spoils relationships. It spoils our relationship with God. It spoils our relationship with the people around us. Just a little bit of selfishness, a little bit of envy. Again, distorts our vision as we look at other people. Any sin spoils life. That's what it does. Any sin. A little bit of unkindness, a little bit of meanness, a little bit of rudeness, a little bit of laziness. It all gets in the way. We need to be forgiven. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. That was number one. He doesn't ignore the paralysis and addresses that next. But the priorities, you need to be forgiven. Jesus died on the cross so that we can be set free from our sin. He took the weight of our sin so that we could have a new life, so we could be set free to enter a new relationship with God. And that's what all of us, need to know this evening. Whatever your position, many of you I don't know at all, that's fine. What I know is, whoever you are, you need to know that God can set you free from your sin. He can release you from the pain and the limitations of sin. One of the great delights of my life has always been to spend time with people who've met Jesus, who've discovered this for themselves. It sometimes happens in predictable places, sometimes unpredictable. I was flying back from Africa a few years ago and was sitting with a woman in her 30s, I would judge. I seek to be a gentleman. I mean, we'll say in her 30s. And you know what these seats are like. You need to know. You feel sorry for me. I've never traveled business class. So we're in these tiny little seats. My body is too large for these airline seats, really. And so you're going to have a relationship with, an enforced relationship with the people around you. It's not pleasant, but not for them. And so in this enforced intimacy, I've got this lady beside me, we're saying in her 30s probably, described her a little bit to you. She had tattoos, which is lovely. It's all good. I'm not making a value judgment, just describing. She had more metal wear in her face than my mother would have approved of. But again, it's absolutely fine. I wonder what this conversation is going to be about, you know, but we're clearly going to have it because we're like this for many hours to come. Forgive me, chat up lines. I asked about what she did, and she said, well, she worked for the Prison Service of Northern Ireland, and she was just going back to that from a holiday in Africa, and that she specialised working with women who'd committed the most violent crimes, many of them who committed murder. I was really touched, and I recognised her huge enthusiasm for her work. That came across immediately. She said she couldn't wait to get back to work because she really loved these women and the work that she was doing. And then added she loved her work because she discovered that's what Jesus wanted her to do. And the rest of the journey back to Heathrow was laced with our different kinds of reflections on the greatest thing in life is to discover what Jesus wants you to do. Perhaps it wasn't the conversation I'd expected to have when we started our intimacy, as it were, sitting together. But that was number one. She'd met Jesus. She'd discovered new life in Jesus. The paralyzed man needed help. And the help was to have a relationship restored with Jesus. Christians aren't perfect people. Never think Christians are perfect people. In fact, Christians are almost precisely the opposite. Christians are people who discover they're not perfect. Discovered that actually we're in need. We need Jesus to help us. I have a little booklet which I love to use called Why Jesus. And I do buy hundreds of them through time because I just think it's just a helpful way of just simply describing what this is all about, why Jesus came, what his death on the cross really means. It's not a long read. If you want a copy, I've left a few at the back. But let's be clear about this. And again, I'm talking to all of you, whatever your thoughts are about Christianity tonight, God offers you forgiveness. He doesn't impose it. He doesn't impose it. For this paralyzed man, Jesus gave him forgiveness, but he had to decide what sort of life he wanted to live as a result. He had to make his own decision. I heard years ago about a New York advertising agency which discovered that a really good way of getting clients to agree to their proposals was to sit them in a rocking chair. And the thinking was, it was quite sophisticated, that if you're sitting going forwards and backwards, it's very difficult to shake your head. And they found that there was a much higher acceptance of their proposals as a result. God doesn't use those tactics. He really doesn't. You have your choice to make, whether you want to follow Jesus or not. The offer of life is there. The offer of a right relationship with God is there. You and I have to make that decision. Thanks for listening.